Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Our gospel this morning is Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 22. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be called holy to the Lord. And they came to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God. He said, Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Joseph and the child's mother were amazed at the things that were spoken about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, listen carefully. This child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Anna, a prophetess, was there. She was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow of 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, since she was worshiping with fasting and prayers night and day. Standing nearby at that very hour, she gave thanks to the Lord. She kept speaking about the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had accomplished everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town, Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, Sunday, 9 people died in a helicopter crash. It was all over the news. It was hard to miss it. You could almost feel the density in the atmosphere. Turn on the radio, watch a news channel, read anything online or in your newspaper. And you heard about this because of one of those people was Kobe Bryant. A 41-year-old retired NBA player, someone who'd lived, eaten, and breathed basketball with a very large fan base, the Los Angeles Lakers. Tragically leaving behind 3 daughters and a wife. Even more tragically, another daughter was in that helicopter with him. How sad. And it maybe isn't a bad thing for us, even if this was, in many people's minds, just an athlete, just a basketball player. It's probably not bad for us to sit back and appraise our lives a little bit. Especially since we spend so much of our time trying to distract ourselves from what's coming for us. It's maybe good to reevaluate. Maybe good on a large scale for all of America to think a little bit, including the people in the pews today, including this guy, what's coming? What comes next? And to think about that. Today is the presentation of our Lord. 40 days after Christmas is when these events would have taken place, when Jesus was brought into the temple as a tiny baby. He wasn't like Samuel, because Samuel's mother, Hannah, had prayed and prayed and prayed for a child. And she decided to make the vow, Lord, I will give you my firstborn child in accordance with the old Passover laws. The old Passover laws said every firstborn male had to be dedicated and serve in the Lord's sanctuary. But he also, God also provided a provision for that. He said if you came with a certain type of sacrifice and presented your firstborn male, then that firstborn male would not have to serve in the temple all of his days. And that's what Mary and Joseph were doing on that day of the presentation of the Lord. And it's significant for us, not just because here's the Lord returning to his temple, following the law, obeying the law, even as a tiny baby, but also because even though Jesus, humanly speaking, may never remember this event, according to his human intellect, the Holy Spirit was there speaking through the mouth of someone far more experienced and old, at least humanly speaking. This old man named Simeon, who tells us so many wonderful things in his short phrases here that it almost assures you, no, it 100% assures you when we are prepared to depart this world in peace. And it gives us a good reason to sing that thing that Simeon said over and over again, maybe every other Sunday. How do you prepare yourself to depart in peace? To depart this world in peace. Well, look at Simeon. Here was an old man. He wasn't afraid of death. In fact, he almost seemed to embrace it. He doesn't even call it death. He calls it a dismissal or a departure. And the Lord has opened up his will to Simeon in this way. He's told Simeon, you get to see the Christ child before you depart. So Simeon was really looking forward to death. He was really looking forward to leaving this world. He couldn't wait for his dismissal or his departure in his old age. Now he says, Lord, let your servant depart. Here he was, so glad and ready and willing to die. Now how could Simeon be so willing and ready to die? Was it because he had so gratuitously enjoyed and become oversatiated with the things of this world? Was it because he filled up on riches and honor and fame? Well, he doesn't say, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace because I'm rich and famous and I'm full. Let me go. That would be a wrong understanding of what it means to depart this world in peace, don't you think? Pleasure, wealth, honor, fame, those are the things that people are always chasing after in this world as though that's the highest good. The greatest possible thing you could ever come into. Pleasure, wealth, honor, fame. But tasting the world will not make men and women cheerful and willing to die. The simple reason is that all of those things you cannot take with you into death. In fact, you might say that all of those things, Lord, let your servant now depart with those things would be departing with remorse, with sadness. The more complex reason is just how depressing those goals are in life. So, what made Simeon so ready to die? Was it because he practiced virtues and was so pure in his thoughts, words, and actions? Does he say, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace because I'm pretty good and my works justify me? No, we're told he was a man whose name was Simeon and he was righteous and devout. We get the impression he was pious. He was a pretty good guy. But he doesn't hope in his own goodness. Because our own works cannot make us cheerful in death. Our own works can't satisfy us at the end of life. And the simple reason is because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Born flesh of the flesh, our whole life long, from beginning to end, everything that we do, even our best deeds, are soiled with sin. When you examine them in the countenance of God, when you look at things before God's face, how does He see them? And it would be probably the worst possible thing to live your life thinking, well, I could depart in peace because I've racked up this or that good deed, because I've made life interesting in this or that way, because I've given so many good things to people. Because that would probably be one of the most tragic things, because on your deathbed, what happens? Your conscience comes and says, all right, now you're going to meet a holy God, and this is a true God who demands perfection. What comfort would your good deeds, your thoughts, words, and actions, even if they were pretty good, what comfort would they give you then? Not too long ago, actually this past week, another thing that happened was a pastor who was delivering a funeral address posted online, a Wells pastor in our own fellowship. But the unique thing about this funeral was he was the bereaved. His wife was the deceased. And he had to deliver the funeral message. And he began by talking about how unprepared he was for this. He listed off when she was diagnosed with cancer, when her leg had to be removed, when they were told the treatment wouldn't work, and then finally one Friday morning when he went in and she'd gone to be with Jesus. He said, you can't be prepared for that. But one thing he knew, one thing he did have, were the promises of God. And so there he was with a chance to witness his own faith to his own church for his own wife's funeral. The promises of God. Why was Simeon so prepared to depart this world in peace? It's because he knew the promises of God and he knew the fulfillment of them. What was happening here? Mary and Joseph were bringing in this Christ child. And he was there to take the child into his arms and say, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. That's what made him so prepared to depart in peace. He saw now the Christ child in the flesh. But that's not the only way in which he saw the Christ child, with his own bodily eyes in the flesh. That's a wonderful blessing. It would have been really nice to be there and see that and witness those events, just to be a fly on the wall. But looking at Jesus with your own physical eyes isn't a guarantee of your salvation. It's not the thing that brings you into heaven. A good test case for that would be Judas Iscariot, who got to see Jesus with his own two eyes day in and day out for 3 years, and yet what a terrible death he died. The other way in which Simeon looked upon this child was with eyes of faith. He saw Jesus, and in Jesus he saw his salvation. Not just a salvation from, the football season. Not just a salvation into the playoffs. Not just a salvation, now my city could get a Super Bowl victory. Not just a salvation from this or that battle with the Philistines, or maybe a salvation from different problems going on at work or relationships, not a salvation from family life, not just those things, but a salvation that really saves, a salvation that saves to the uttermost, a salvation that saves from evil, because he saw this child in more than one way. It is this that will make you also tranquil in death, that you see in Jesus the salvation of your soul. When we see our salvation in Jesus Christ, then alone, and then surely, we have peace. The kind of peace that it takes to depart this world. And why is that? It's because this Jesus has removed every barrier that would partition us from God. Sin separated us from God. But here is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The devil laid his claim on us, but here was the seed of the woman, who was there to crush the serpent's head. The law pronounced its curse on us because we haven't followed it, because we could not complete it. But here was the one who was born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might have the full rights of sons. Hell and everlasting death try to claim us because the wages of sin is just that, death. But here was the one who promised already in the Old Testament, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. And so Simeon says, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared. Which you have prepared. Not a salvation prepared by any man or woman or creature or beast. A salvation prepared by God himself. When you can say that, when you can look beyond the grave, the light that casts its ray into the grave by which you see even into endless eternity, the way to heaven, you see the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? To this salvation, let each of us hold fast. I'm asking you to look into this salvation. I'm asking you to see this salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to reach out for it, hold on to it, grasp it, hold fast, cling to it for dear life, and never let go. Because this is the thing that makes you depart with peace. This allows you to be dismissed. Over the coffin of this world, you can calmly step into the next stage of your life, even if it whispers death. Because then if you have this kind of peace, then you have rest for your souls. You have rest in life. You have rest in death. You have rest in time. And you have rest in eternity. Because Jesus, who purchased this salvation, says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. In Jesus' name, amen.